You know the problem with being a trailer junkie?
What's that?
Is you watch a trailer and you don't even know if it's a movie or a TV show or a schmovie.
They're all schmovies, man. They're all schmovies.
When you really break it down, if you were to watch all of the Marvel movies,
it's a series.
It's a series. They're all schmovies.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it is episode 149 of the Trailer Junkies. We are one episode shy of 150.
You know what Bryce said to me today? He saw I was pulling out, you know, art and stuff, and he came up to the computer and he was looking over my shoulder and he's like, 149. You're almost at 200. I was like, Bryce, 200's like a year away.
I was about to say, yeah, that's like 51 weeks from now. Assuming we don't take a vacation.
I was like, we usually take 4 weeks off at least, Bryce. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's like come summertime, 4 or 5 weeks is gone. You're talking like a year and a quarter. Oh, that guy.
Anyway, yes, 150 is right around the corner. I think it's next week. It's right around the corner next week.
Yeah, I can smell it. You know what 150 smells like? I think it might smell like a stout.
Oh yeah, okay. We have different. This is our last of our Christmas beers of our trade.
You followed my lead, Ted. Thank you.
And yes, well, you know, 149 episodes, we should be able to set each other up a little bit.
That's right.
And I picked it today because it was provided by you, but it's the last one, so there's nothing to select. Other than the party slide, West Coast Triple IPA.
And I gotta say, I'm glad it's cold. My fingers, my three cord fingers are numb and raw.
Oh, that's right.
This past week, I bought myself a tenor ukulele.
The kid's ukulele from Christmas isn't enough?
No, it's not.
Look at that pretty little thing.
A tenor uke. It's a mahalo.
It's bigger than I thought it would be.
That's what she said.
Thank you, please.
No, but it's a tenor.
Uh-huh.
And the boys have sopranos, and that's what I started with. And the sopranos are remarkably much smaller.
Right.
So you have the soprano, the concert, which is like an alto,
The
tenor, and a baritone. And a baritone is strung like a guitar. And I thought, oh, the baritone has a really nice sound. It's deeper and everything. But the sound is very much like a guitar.
Too close to guitar.
Well, but it's also strung differently than the other three ukuleles. And because it's strung differently, all the lessons are different, you know? And it's I'd be totally lost.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get into talking about that kind of stuff, let's crack this sucker. And it's a can.
All right.
11%.
Yes. A can with a sticker.
Yeah, a can with a sticker, and it's 11%, and one pint, 16 fluid ounces.
It's a triple.
Totally. Triple West IPA. Coast. I don't know what the IBUs are, but how's it smell to you?
It hit me like a hop, with a hop blast.
Oh, this is amazing.
That hop bomb. It hit me with like dry. It was like a really nice and dry breeze.
It's funny. Ted likes his IPAs. And when I was picking out the beers for our little Christmas giveaway, I got the crude, the blood something or other.
Blood oil.
Yeah, I forget. It's been weeks since we've had these beers. I'm shocked I remember that, you know. But no, so I told Sandy over at Valley Brewers, I said, you know, my buddy Teddy likes IPAs, and I mean, I like IPAs too. But I said, I can't stand the hazies and the juicies and everything. Just give me a solid West Coast. He said, how about Party Slide? And I said, okay, Party Slide sounds good. 11%? Okay, yeah, you sold me.
that's our
well
range.
Today I'm at the liquor store, right? And I just got a couple of beers, you know, because like I got a Chimay Grand Reserve, so Me and Clarissa shared while doing dinner and stuff.
Nice.
I thought, you know what? I'll get another six pack if we want something to sip on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some lager there that looked really good. And I thought, oh, wow, that looks like a good lager. And it was like 4.4%, it said, right? In big numbers. Like, I don't know. In big font. I don't know why they're broadcasting 4.4%. But I looked at it and I thought, you know, like, I'll just drink too many of them.
Yeah, just it's a bloating. It's a bloating issue, right?
Like, yeah. And then I went down and I got another six pack. I'm going to save it for maybe next week or something. I'll save one. And it was like 7.7%. And I'm like, well, that's better because then I just need like two. You know, I don't need like eight of them, you know what I mean? Or whatever, to get the same effect. And I can savor them and enjoy them longer. And it's like a Coors Light or something, or a Michelob Ultra just goes down like, you know, water. But what do you think? How is it?
This does not. This is good. But I mean, I to me, it's.
Oh, this is really good.
It's really good, but it's juicy and hazy. Like, I like it. But do you like it?
It's not hazy, but it's juicy.
Okay, it's definitely juicy. It's got that passion fruit notes and
it has that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the juice, but it's kind of, I mean, it's not clear, but it's not, you're right, it's not hazy. It's like,
well, it's not hazy in that it has lactose and all that stuff, right?
Right, right, right. None of that.
Yeah. So I think it's more of the juicy in that it's along the lines of a citrus rather than like a piney. But overall, though, I think I can't even see. Maybe you could. Oh.
I'm doing my glasses thing.
Time to slide into the party with this deceptively smooth triple IPA. I love that.
Smooth triple.
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we're.
That's all right. Give Humble C Brewing Company a little props.
Where are they out of? Does it say?
It doesn't say. I was looking for all that.
How do they not say where they're from? I mean, come on.
Right? Come on.
Like, give me your address so I can, like.
So I can stalk you a little bit.
At least your Instagram.
Oh, there it is. San Luis Obispo.
Oh, that's local. They're an hour north of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, slow. All right, man. So the week, I kind of brought us into our week with the tenor ukulele and my raw fingers. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm learning the, you know. I only got the thing 4 days ago, and I've been like doing these.
Nice.
I found this woman online. I'd plug her. I don't know what it is, but it's this 30-day ukulele challenge kind of learning thing.
Nice, nice.
She is an extremely good teacher, and her job is a music teacher. And so she's, you know,
nice.
She doesn't ask for anything. She has no ads or anything, but she says, if you like what I'm doing, I you know, you can donate, you know? So
okay.
I'm learning along. I'm going to kick her $100 at the end of this 30 days, man. I'm not kidding you.
No way. That's awesome.
In 4 days, you know, I've done her, I've probably done like eight of her lessons because I've just been practicing moving along. And some of her lessons are like, here's how to hold it. You know, it's like, okay, that's lesson one,
right?
You know, and lesson two, it's like, okay, here's how to tune it. You know, so those don't really count. But she has been doing, like, I have been learning so much in 4 days. And it's funny how you can learn like chords and these drills and you could do all this stuff. And you're like, oh, my God, I could put my fingers all over the fret bar and like or whatever they call it, you know, and you could do all this stuff. And
Yeah. The fingerboards.
Yeah. You could do all this stuff. And it's like, I think I got it, you know, and then I go to some other person's website and they're telling you how to play like, you know, like Riptide or something. I'm like, I could do it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm totally crippled. I can't do it. You know, it's, yeah, I'll tell you though, it is amazing to start picking up music at just about 50 years old. My wrist and forearm tendons are like inflamed and my fingertips are raw, but I'm loving every minute of it.
We all have to stave off all of our mental decline.
That's it. That's exactly what I'm doing, man. I'm like slowing down Alzheimer's one strum chord at a time, one C chord at a time, right? All right. So how we've been doing our, you know, what we're watching.
We've
been kind of going the tit for tat. Let's do that for the week.
I agree. It's so much more dynamic.
Yeah, every week I listen to our episode while I'm editing, and it's like, uh-huh. It's me droning on for 15 minutes, and then you're droning on for 15 minutes, and by the time it's done, I'm just like, oh, finally, the trailers. And I can only imagine how listeners are doing. They're probably like, these guys just keep... I thought this was Trailer Junkies, not the Lifestyles of Jim and Ted or something. But anyway.
Well, it's both. It's both.
Hey, it's our podcast, yes, damn it. So, we can do what we want.
Let me just bounce off of your learning the ukulele. We had bought right at the beginning, not at the very beginning, but a couple months into the pandemic, we bought Bryce a Groupon for guitar lessons.
Oh, okay.
So he used to do guitar lessons in person.
Let me interrupt. He has a guitar.
He had a guitar. Yes, he's had a guitar for a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. He got a Cordoba Coco guitar.
Wouldn't know it.
Yeah, well, Cordoba is a decent guitar manufacturer, and Coco is the movie, the Pixar movie.
Oh, okay.
Where they have that, so they branded a guitar for that. So he had one. We bought it early in the pandemic. He did it for like a month in the pandemic online, and then he just dropped it. So we're like, it's hard. Pandemic's hard enough. Let's not force the kid to do it, whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Last week, out of the blue,
he decides he's into it.
He pulled it out, and he's got his new computer for Christmas. He punched it up into the new computer. He found Iron Man on the songs you can learn by song, and he jumped to the middle where you could.
So not the movie, but Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. Yes, that's exactly right. So now he can play like the first quarter of Iron Man.
That's amazing. How long did it take?
Oh, it took like to do the first quarter. It took him like 2 days.
But it's totally recognizable, right?
Oh, yeah. And like the first day he was like, look, I'm doing the thing where you kind of wah-wah, you know, you kind of like you move your finger and it reverberates the note.
Right.
And it's right at the top of Iron Man where you're doing that. And then he's hanging out in class and he's...
Oh my God, I want to listen to that song right now.
And he's like in science class and he's like, you know, they ask you to talk about your weekend or something. And he goes, and when we break for, you know, when we leave, if anyone wants, I would love to play the opening of Iron Man. So he's got his guitar.
Did people stay?
People stayed and they listened to him like do the first quarter of Iron Man.
That is awesome.
So that's him, and that's the ukulele tie-in. And then now, to stave off our mental decline, Anne and I, we love to puzzle, as you know.
Yeah.
And one puzzle was superior. I think I told you over Christmas we bought like all these different brands of puzzles.
I saw like tubes or something.
Right, exactly. These are a very specific, Cavallari. Is the puzzle manufacturer, but
I'll believe you.
Stock list is the place where we got them, and they're great. They carry all of them. And we just ordered eight. We ordered eight puzzles, 8,000 piece puzzles.
Eight 1,000 piece puzzles.
Right. So we have 8,000 pieces in puzzling to go. And we were, you know, I was so excited to get them. I was, you know, I did some puzzles in the meantime. The Ravensburger one was good, but some of the puzzles were kind of like a little too cardboardy. So these are really nice solid pieces. And then for like a week, I was...
Give me a time frame. What do you think it's going to take you to put them together?
All eight of them?
Like, let's say you just work, you know, a little bit, however you do puzzles.
I think we could typically get through one in about a week.
So you're saying like two and a half months, you would have all eight built?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Okay. And what are the themes or what are the...
You know those old the old charts that you'd pull down in 1950s school that have like here's the diagrams of 10 kind of jellyfish,
and there's like just a big old penis, right.
Here's a skeleton.
Or is that it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Like that. No, it's like minerals, and it's like figure 18. You know, and it's got all that stuff.
Got
and it's got the names written.
Yeah. As long as it's not sex ed, you're good.
As long right. as there's no, oh God, I would hate to put a
big
puzzle together.
Vagine.
Like, what? What part of the penis is this? You know, like,
oh God, that's horrible.
And so, so we bought them and we said, well, how, you know, we're going to get 8 of them. They gift wrap for free. So let's gift wrap them and we'll just do it randomly. Like we'll pick one at random.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
So, Ann videotaped me opening the first one. So we had like an unboxing, an unwrapping of sorts.
Ted, but can I say though, why is it that like mid-40, late-40 year old men always revert back to middle school when it comes to anything like that? Right? Like what is it about men where we just revert back to middle school? Like we can't help ourselves.
It's the midlife crisis, you know, it's in all of us.
I don't know, but like guys can't help but just going back to middle school. That's just where we live, I guess. No wonder we drive women crazy.
Anyway, what else have you done this week?
Clarissa got her second shot for her
oh, nice.
Vaccine. Got it yesterday about 3 p.m.
Okay, how's she feeling?
So last night at dinner, she said, oh, wow, yeah, shoulder's a little bit sore.
Uh-huh.
So she gets up this morning, puts on her scrubs, because, you know, she's an RN, so she puts on her scrubs.
Right.
And getting ready for work. And she comes in and she has on like, you know, hearts and like, you know, because she has like these hearts like scrubs. And
fun scrubs. Yeah,
exactly. Right. For Valentine's Day and stuff. So then she's kind of like doing breakfast for the boys and she's making lunch. And like I see her slowing down a little bit. And then she's just like, and she just kind of gives me this look, you know, like, you know, the cartoon character Droopy the dog. She gives me this look like,
oh, yes.
I just don't feel good. Oh, and no. I said, what's wrong? You know, she said, because I was getting on the boys about clean, because they, you know, were about to leave for school and they decide to dump out like
right.
toys all over the floor. And I'm like, what do you, I have to like work and let the dog out. Put the toy. I start like flipping out, right? She's like, when you were yelling at the boys about the toys, it didn't even faze me. You know, so anyway, she calls off and she's like, I just want to go take a nap.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She was pretty wiped out from it. I mean, it ran her down a little bit.
It's supposed to.
Yeah. It ran her down a little bit. She had an immune response.
That's good. That means your body's fighting it.
Yeah, exactly. I went to the office. I came home and she was feeling better. And then I did a few more things from home for work. You know, I had a meeting and such that, you know, Zoom meeting that I did. And then I went to get the boys, came home from the boys, and then she was kind of like back to herself again. But yeah, the first, like from the more, well, I guess it started last night because she said she didn't sleep well. And then she went through like the day and just like dragging. And she was like, yeah, I didn't feel good, you know. But the good thing is, you know, she had her immune response and everything, and then she felt definitely good enough to have a Chimay with me at dinner time. So we're back to normal.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was really cool. So you got anything else for the week?
Did I talk about the mall already? I think we talked about my axe, but I think last weekend I picked up a mall and I'm now splitting wood fully. I know we talked during the week, so that's why it feels like.
Yeah, we did talk during the week. So you decided to get a mall. So it's like an axe style mall. It's not a chisel.
It's an axe style mall. Right. Yeah.
That's what I have.
And when Anne was telling me to get a mall, I always envisioned just the little wedge.
No, no. Like I have a mall and it's like really fat. Like it's axe at the
exactly.
blade, but then it gets like really fat and it just like explodes.
And it's like 8 pounds. This one is 8 pounds.
I think that's what mine is.
And this one, it's so funny because our axe is 2.6 or whatever. And Bryce loves swinging that thing, but the mall, he can't lift it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think mine's 8 pounds as well.
Like he does not want to throw it around, you know? But it obliterates wood. It's amazing. It's great.
Oh, when you hit it, the wood just like disintegrates. Like it vaporizes in front of you and it winds up in the neighbor's yard. It yeah,
right,
I know.
Exactly.
I love it, man. I love it.
Splinters all over the place.
Yeah. So the last thing then, speaking of the mall, this kind of goes in there if you want to think about wood splitting as trash, but I don't think so. But no, so, you know, the thing about Town and Lompoc and so on, you know, like we have a lot of good bones and we're on the central coast of California. We get a lot of tourism. Mm-hmm. We have the wine industry. There's breweries. I mean, it's a really cool place to live. It's beautiful. And there's, you know, we have beaches. The temperature is like 70 degrees year round on average. Like you can't, like this place.
Cold nights though. Cold nights.
Even in the summer. Yeah. Even in the summer, there's cold nights. You know, hottest days might be 90, you know, for like a week. Like, you know, it's just, it's amazing. But because of that, we do get a lot of homeless, unfortunately.
Mm.
And in the times of COVID, I think that's increased a little bit, sadly.
Really?
And man, the trash around town is just unprecedented. And about 2 years ago, the city spent $500,000 and they pulled roughly 10 tons of trash from like the river.
Wow.
Right? The San Ynez River and the river, like the river area and all that stuff. And it's getting to be bad again, you know? So riding your bike and everything, like when you're going past in your car, you don't really see it, I guess. I don't know. But riding your bike, you just see trash all over the place because you go at a slow enough speed. So I wrote a letter to like the mayor, the city council and stuff. And I had a couple of city council members contact me. They said, yeah, we agree. Like this is an issue. You know, I told them I had a number of ideas about how we could tackle it and everything. And with the newspaper, getting people on board. And so they're like, we'd love to talk to you next week sometime. You know, when do you have free? Now I got to write some proposal on how to clean trash out of the city and stuff, you know, all this. So,
well, I mean, you have a picturesque biking space. Why don't you arrange some kind of erase the trash, like E-R-A-C-E, and then you use all the funds you make from a bike race to pay for trash removal or something.
Wait a minute. Okay. So I like the erase. So wait, what you're saying is we put up like a criterium in town,
right?
Is that what you're saying? Like
what's a criterium? Is that like a course?
Yeah, criterium is like I'm sorry, if for people that don't know, there's like
which is me,
the Tour de France is like a road race. You go from like point A to point B, so you go from like Lompoc to Solvang.
Right, exactly.
Right, or where you live, you go from like Reseda to Burbank.
Okay, right.
Right, like you start here, you get there, first person there wins. You know, there's strategy and tactic, but whatever. First person or line wins. A criterium is like a square mile city block where it's like each leg is like a 1 mile square. So 1 mile, 1 mile, 1 mile, 1 mile, right? You just go all the way around and you go around and around in circles on this 1 mile,
right,
for say 50 minutes and then two laps, right? So you just keep going for 50 minutes. Then they ring the bell. Then there's two laps to go. And then there's like a winner.
Yeah. Something like that.
So that's a criterium. So, and usually that kind of a race is done in like an old town or a downtown or somewhere where there's like the brewery and the pie place.
Right,
and
right.
People can hang out and watch and drink and watch races and stuff.
And they're like, oh, they're good. There goes Jim again.
So what you're saying is they do a race and the proceeds go towards like cleaning up Lompoc, and the race is called Erase Lompoc. I mean, we don't want to erase Lompoc.
No. Erase the trash. I don't know.
Oh, erase trash. Okay, because I'll say
something. I was just. I'm just. I'm just.
No, no, no. I like that. I like the brainstorming. Yeah, we don't want to do Erase Lompoc because I think people like living here.
No.
I don't know if you've seen on the weather stations and the Weather Channel and all that stuff, but with all of the sliding cars and the interstate crashes of like 80 car pileups that have been happening this past week, let's get into the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
So this is one of those Super Bowl spots that said, see the whole thing over, you know, it's a TV spot, 30 seconds, and then see the whole thing over at Disney Plus or on YouTube or wherever, you know, whole thing online.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it looks action packed. It looks like it brought back a great villain from which one? I think Ultron, right?
Who's the villain?
The villain does the voiceover.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. See, I'm not as huge a Marvel fan as you. I like Marvel. I'm not saying I don't, because, well, okay, let me put it this way. Just to give a premonition to what we're watching, we're going through all the Star Wars in release order like we were talking for the past few weeks.
Right.
Once Star Wars is done in release order, we're going to get into all of the Marvels again with the boys. Oh, we got to relive nice. All of them again. But that's okay, though. I like it. And especially, like, the boys never saw it, and now we're going to watch it again. That'll be fun. But so
it's new to them. It'll have new meaning for you. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? The older I get, every day is a new day, you know? So it'll be new to me, too. So who's the villain?
I guess it's Civil War. My internet is not working right now.
Oh, God.
But it's the so it's got to be Civil War. It's the guy who makes them make the Sokovia Accords. It's the guy that looks like the Winter Soldier. Like, he tries to impersonate the Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of a dark storyline. Bryce still does not like the murders in the Civil War, because they're kind of like brutal in the bathtub, you know, kind of old spy murders. But yeah, no, this is amazing. This looks great.
I like the musical score.
Yeah, and it feels like we're ramping up. I know also, too, to preview a little bit, you know, the WandaVision that we're both watching. It feels like we're ramping up to this. And to think this really feels like a movie, doesn't it? It feels like a Marvel movie with the action and the set pieces that they showcase through this trailer.
Wait, The Falcon and Winter Soldier is not a movie?
It's a series.
Get out! I didn't even know that!
It's a schmovie. Come on, man.
What?
It's going to be 8.
Oh.
Right? It looks like the set pieces and the action in this look like it's a full-blown movie. So,
wow.
I think WandaVision, you know, was this slow build to something that could be movie-esque, but, you know, a little more Twin Peaks, but
you know the problem with being a trailer junkie?
What's that?
Is you watch a trailer and you don't even know if it's a movie or a TV show or a schmovie.
they're all schmovies, man. They're all schmovies.
When you really break it down, if you were to watch all of the Marvel movies,
it's a series.
They're all schmovies.
It's a series of movies. It's a series of movies. Yeah.
They're all it's shocking that this is a series. Wow. That blows my mind. But so, you know what, though? I'm even more excited because I get to enjoy it longer. It's not just two and a half hours and it's over. It's like, well, let's see if it's 30. That's like 5 episodes, though. 2.5 hours. So if it's 8 episodes, it's a long movie. It's a schmovie.
Right. It's a long movie. It's
schmovie. Oh, God.
And I think it's just, you know, I think you think of it as a season, but I think the unlock here for me is that you don't force another season, you know? Make it self-contained. Make it like, if you start here, you can end here. Make that a whole piece. Make that completely satisfying. Have arc, have character arc, have character development, have characters change from episode to episode. And then at the end of it, just be satisfied with it, you know, like a life, like it's run its course, you know. I think the issue with successful TV shows back in the day was, you know, you have 4 successful seasons and you're like, oh, we gotta milk this. We gotta make it last. We gotta keep these characters alive in this space.
We gotta write stories that no one cares about at this point.
Right, because we got to keep these characters that are churning out, you know, commercial money in the people's, you know, watching and viewing. But the consumption is no longer like that. So this is episodes, schmovies that are single season kind of shows.
I think Disney has their thumb on the pulse. Because when you think about The Mandalorian ran, what, three seasons? Four? Three? I don't even know. Three, I think, right?
What? Three seasons?
The Mandalorian. How many seasons?
What do you mean? No, it was one. It wasn't it? It was only like...
Two.
It was only two seasons.
Oh, two seasons. Okay. I don't know. Can't keep track.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was two seasons. The Mandalorian ends and it picks up at the Book of Boba.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about WandaVision, I don't know if they're going to continue. I doubt it. But then it picks up here at the Falcon and Winter Soldier and they carry the torch. And then it picks up on, you know, whoever the next one is going to be and stuff. And what I like about that, though, is if you think about it in terms of, like, we always kind of bring up The Walking Dead. And or I think another big one that we bring up, too, is...
Oh, yeah. Homeland.
Yeah, we bring up Homeland, and we're like, season three, they hang Brody. And then me and Clarissa, we're on...
I'm out.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, I think we might have watched the fourth season...
We tried.
I don't think we even finished it.
Yeah.
But we're on Hulu and they're like, and I'm like, oh, Homeland, we forgot about that show. Let's see where they're at. And I look, I'm like, eight seasons. They hung Brody at season three. Like, what on earth could they still be doing? You know, like, what's Claire Danes doing? You know? But the point I'm getting at, though, when I talk about that is you have eight seasons of Claire Danes just going season in, season out, you know? You have The Walking Dead, whoever the next villain is, season in, season out.
Yeah.
What they're doing on Disney is one season of this group of Marvel characters or this group of Star Wars characters or whatever. And then the next season, a whole new crop, a whole new story arc. They don't carry it over season after season after season. And I think that is an awesome way to go about it because you have such an enormous number of characters that you could pair up anybody, tell a story about anything, or not even pair up, whatever. It's just one season, five episodes. You could do a short season, four, five, six, eight episodes, whatever. It doesn't even matter, you know? And when it's all said and done, put out the next one. And it's like, it's almost as if they're taking a 3-hour movie, breaking it into six 30-minute episodes, and there's your schmovie. Exactly, yeah, I think it's brilliant, to be quite honest.
Yeah, love it.
All right, man, old. I feel like old. Wanda is in charge of the beach. You have people getting pregnant and giving birth, and next thing you know, you have like teenagers all within a trailer. How does this happen?
All within a 30-second TV spot, basically, right?
Right. Totally.
Yeah, I mean, this is M. Night Shyamalan. As you know, I'm watching Servant on Apple TV Plus.
I didn't know. Is that a show or a movie?
Oh, sorry. I think I mentioned it.
A schmovie.
Again, another schmovie. second season of a schmovie.
And this is M. Night Shyamalan or his daughter, though.
Yeah, his daughter directed one of the second season episodes.
Yes, you did talk about this.
But yeah, so this is the next one of M. Night's movies, and it's going to be in theaters. In theaters only.
Yeah, whenever COVID ends.
Universal's very clear. In theaters this summer, you know? Only in theaters this summer.
In theaters, when this thing called COVID, it decides to end.
But it looks like a, you know, a horror story about a beach. And like when you think of the Terminus, again, I am called back to Lost. I think Lost to me is one of those things that I wish movies were around when Lost was around because it would be so.
Lost to me is Lost.
It would be so much better if you just remembered it as the great first half of what Lost was.
You know, the thing about it, though, so everybody wants to go on vacation right now.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to get the hell out of the house.
Right.
They want to go somewhere where they could just enjoy, I mean, go to Paris, go to Bermuda, go to...
Yosemite. We're trying to do Yosemite this weekend.
Yosemite.
4-day weekend.
Go to Rio de Janeiro. I don't care where you go, right? People want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
COVID finally is declared over, whatever that's going to look like.
Right.
You're like, baby, let's go to the movies. You go to the movies right before the family vacation that you've been putting off for like 2 years because of COVID. Uh-huh. This is the trailer that you see. So you go watch the movie and you're like, I don't think we should go on vacation. Let's have a staycation. And then Anne's like, we've had a staycation for the past like 2 years. No, we're going to go to the beach. You go to the beach. She should have listened to you because the staycation would have been much better because now like you're giving birth to like teenagers or something.
Right.
Which you have teenagers. So you're like blinking and you're like, oh my God, it's like I just gave birth to him and now I have a teenager.
It does feel like that sometimes, you know,
that's exactly the point.
You look at them and they're as tall as you are and they're like, you know, hitting you in the shoulder, knocking you over and stuff, and like old manning you. And
okay, boomer. And you're like, I'm not even a boomer.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Come on, I'm an Xer. I'm not a boomer.
But I'm excited to see what M. Night does with this. So, you know, he has twists and turns. And
well, I like what Clarissa says. She goes, I said, oh, M. Night Shyamalan. She's like, I never saw an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I said, The Sixth Sense?
What?
Oh, okay. I saw an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I'm like, yeah, of course you've seen The Sixth Sense, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think she's realized.
She doesn't recognize it.
Yeah, she hasn't recognized the movies that he's done.
What's your favorite?
I think it is that one, The Sixth Sense. The only problem with that movie is it's a one-time viewing.
No, you can watch it again with knowing it and then see the hints as they go along.
Okay, you beat me to the punch. I was about to say it is a two-time viewing, but the second time is just to see how it unfolded, right? So, yeah, I would say that was my favorite. And then there was the one that where they had the people on the outskirts. And they were like in the, I can't remember what it was called. They were on the...
The Village?
The Village, yes. The Village. That was okay.
So, yeah, he's always got the twist. He's the master of the twist movie, and it started with The Sixth Sense.
Right, right.
But I would say Unbreakable is definitely my favorite of his movies.
Never saw that one.
The Bruce Willis one? Oh, it's a must.
When you say the Bruce Willis one, I call that The Sixth Sense.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot. Okay, sorry.
No, I never did see Unbreakable, though.
Unbreakable is definitely my favorite of his movies. Again, there's some movies that are just a meditation. And of all contemporary movies and the movies in the past 20 years, it has some of the longest master shots. You know, it has like a conversation between Bruce Willis and a fellow passenger on a train. And instead of cutting back and forth between the two characters, he shoots it between the seats of the train. And he slowly rocks the camera back from looking at him to looking at her.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, does he move the camera? And he does.
And he just moves the camera back and forth. But they talk and they take turns talking. And you're not always catching the person who's talking. But there is a level of acting and a level of tension that's built.
I love master shots like that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's just levels of tension throughout this movie that are unmatched in any of his other things. So he tried to go back to the well with Split and with Glass, and neither of them lived up to the Unbreakable start. So the Unbreakable is the beginning of a trilogy.
Oh, Unbreakable was the start of Split and Glass?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You know what? But Bruce Willis was not in the other two, though.
Bruce Willis is in Glass a lot, and Bruce Willis shows up at the very end of Split, because Split is played out as a regular monster movie, and then at the end, the twist is that this is the sequel to Unbreakable.
And Sam Jackson's in Glass.
He's in Glass, and he's also main character in Unbreakable. He's one of the other main character in Unbreakable.
Oh, he's in Unbreakable too. Okay. All right, I'll have to check those out then. I didn't know.
Unbreakable. So Split and Glass, you can take it or leave it, but Unbreakable, a must view.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I didn't know about that. So looking at old and the beach being controlled by Wanda, I know you've been champing at the bit for like weeks. for me and Clarissa to watch Wanda. So we watched
for over a month.
Oh, easy, easy. Yeah, because it's five episodes.
Five weeks.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So we're 5 weeks in. We've watched the five episodes. We didn't watch tonight. We didn't have the opportunity for recording and, you know, just dinner and the boys and, you know, otherwise we'd be...
Life.
Life happens and we'll watch it tomorrow. But yeah, so episode 1 through 5.
How did you watch them? Did you watch them?
We watched 3 back to back and then 2 back to back.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. We did them on the trainer last Saturday.
Okay.
The trainer's an hour and a half, what we were doing. And they just ran, just boom, 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 the 3 of them. And we just watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got into it. We liked it. I would say it starts off not at all Marvel.
Right.
Well, I should say not at all. There is the little magic-y things. It's kind of Bewitched, you know?
Right, right, right.
And even the opening...
I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched.
I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched. You know, it's that kind of thing. The 1950s, early 60s sitcom feel. Then it gets into like the 70s.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it starts turning.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the 3rd episode, I don't remember who it was, but she has the sword that's upside down.
Right. Right, right.
And she gets blasted out. The black woman, when she has the big 70s fro.
Right. Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo. I like the name too, Rambo. With a French spelling, you know.
Right.
But she gets blasted out, and it ends when all these like government agents, whatever, surround her. And that's like where it ends. And that's where we ended it for that day.
Right. That's and is episode 3.
Exactly. And we were like, oh, wow, what do you think that is? And we're, you know, we're talking like, oh, I wonder if that's Hydra or something, you know, kind of the way it played out.
Right.
And then we watched more like that night. And then a couple nights later, we watched another episode and then we got all caught up. And when we look at like the government agencies and everything that was included or that was involved with her getting blasted out, and then they find out that Wanda is controlling the town,
mm-hmm.
more or less to save everybody from Thanos's...
You think so? No, Thanos is done and gone.
Yeah, but you don't think she designed that or created all that to keep Thanos out?
No, she did all of this post-Thanos. This is all... Rambo's came back from the snap. Her mother's already passed away, but she came back where she left in the hotel, in the hospital room.
Right.
And that's so this is, and then it has like 4 weeks or 5 weeks after that. That's when this occurs.
Oh.
This is Wanda's defense mechanism.
Yeah.
This is Wanda's PTSD.
Oh, her PTSD. See what? Okay. I was.
She's had a psychotic break from losing vision.
Oh, I misinterpreted it as...
See, you had to do what you had to do. You know, you're caught up now. I would say this is what I said a couple weeks ago when I said there was an article. It is a anti-binging show. Like, to digest the progress and the process of what's going on, it has an average of 50 to 75 Easter eggs an episode. And of course, you know, early on I told you, even without any spoilers...
50 to 75?
But I told you without any spoilers that there are way too many Easter eggs that way more nerdier people than you and I have, you know, dove way deep into the archives of the actual comic books of Marvel to find in the fifth edition of Avengers, West Coast Avengers, this happened and that's what they're referring to. You know what I mean? But that was the earlier episodes. But then as they progress, the the Easter eggs and the things that are hidden are more in plain sight, and they're more in the MCU. They're more in you saw the paper towel commercial, right?
Yes.
To me, that's my favorite of the fake commercials thus far.
Okay.
Because the paper towels are called the Lagos, right? The Lagos paper towels.
Yeah.
And Lagos is the town where Scarlet Witch killed a bunch of civilians, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then she shot them into the sky. Shot the bomb into the sky, and it blew up that office building, right? So she had blood on her hands, and this is like cleaning up the messes that you're, and it's like pushing red
that's
juice.
That's right, the juice is red.
Table.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So it's like they get more and more, you know, in your face with the Easter eggs, but there's still these Easter eggs. And then, you know, since we're doing spoilers all through episode 5 with the reveal of Pietro at the end of episode 5, we have, I always say Darcy, right? I think that might be her character name. It might be her actress name. But Darcy says she recast Pietro. And I was, you know, this is the scene that I said last week. We're all sitting around the dinner, screaming at the television, because I said this is the first time that a mutant has ended up in this side of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we've opened the door to the X-Men. You know, it's like,
so he's a mutant.
He's a mutant from another multiverse. And you know how you said when we're talking about how these schmovies work. The one of our favorite things to do after we watch an episode is to wait a day or two, and you get all these explainer videos with all the Easter eggs and all the things that we watch on Nerdist, and you watch it on YouTube, and you spend 20 to 30 minutes.
I'm so glad you're keeping our Trailer Junkies cred afloat, because like I would sink us like the Bismarck, man.
Well, you know, I still have to watch other people explain Easter eggs to us, true. But you know, it's still fun. And then it's like you watch something like that, and it helps, just enriches your whole experience, knowing that you're going to have this, you know, you're going to understand 20% of it, 40% of it, whatever, and then you'll be able to hear explanations of the rest of it. And then not only that, do they give you explainers for what's going on, but then you have possible futures, and you have possible future projects. So we know we're going to have Doctor Strange in the multiverse, and we're going to have the next Spider-Man also in the multiverse. So this could branch off into 3 projects, you know, 2 to 3 projects that are movies within this new Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, I mean, let's just face it. When you have, man, like thousands of characters, like there is forever content that they could write and create and keep the Marvel nerds satisfied.
And then the boys are like in all of the comics, so we know exactly what's going to happen to them and what powers they have, and they're showing their powers.
Wait, you're talking about the boys where the really fast guy disintegrated his girlfriend while they were wait.
No, I'm talking about her twin boys.
I thought you meant the boys on Amazon. I was going to say, what?
What? I'm going off a different route.
Oh, the two twins. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, overall, though, I would say, I mean, I like it.
Get into that weekly pattern for the rest of the episodes, and then that it should, like, maybe it'll flow over you a bit more. It'll sink in more deeply. But you're on a trainer, though. Like, you're, like, focused.
Well, no. So there's different workouts we're doing.
Okay.
Right. So we do an app called Trainer Road, and there's different apps. And we had a recovery week last week. And in a recovery week, you're doing very like low power, low heart rate.
Oh, okay.
Pedaling. So it's pretty easy stuff, you know, and it's just like active recovery. So you've done all this hard work, and now you're doing all this easy work that says you know, we don't want you to just sleep in and do nothing for a week. We want you to like move your legs and kind of just do something, but it's not, yeah, keep but it's it not going, but... keep the habit going, keep the heart rate getting up a little bit, keep the legs moving a little bit, but you don't need to like just go like, you don't need to completely thrash yourself, right?
But that's what I meant. I mean, you could focus on the TV show. So, I mean, you're pretty focused on the TV show.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant we couldn't focus on the TV show.
No. I thought if you're on trainer run, like you're not doing like other exercises where you could be like distracted.
Oh, no, you're just pedaling and watching.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
However, when we do get to like the high intensity stuff, it's so intense that you can't focus. So
right.
We watch like we put on music and we watch like bicycle racing videos. You know what I mean? But like this morning and such, or no, wait, what's no, yesterday morning, Thursday morning and stuff is what we do. But now we're just back to just sitting on the sofa watching it. And yeah, I agree, though. I mean, I think we need to have it wash over us. We need to think about it. Maybe I should watch some of the explainer videos because
we'll send you a link in Pod Squad.
I can say with certainty I haven't watched any of the explainer videos. But overall, though, I mean, just to
still entertaining.
To close out before I get into a couple other things, very entertaining, enjoyable, and knowing that the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is a TV show and not a movie, like I can't wait even more for it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we've been watching, we started was J.J. Abrams produced the Space Shuttle Challenger documentary on Netflix. Have you seen it?
Oh, okay. No, I have not seen that.
Very good. I want to talk to Frank about it. I want him to watch it because they make a few references to Hughes research.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you know, I'm like, wow, he used to work there, you know, and space, you know, the Challenger tragedy in the 80s and everything. One of the engineer scientist guys was the Hughes research guy. And I wonder if he knew him or something, you know.
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting. It's a big place.
But it's living it, watching it, you know, breathing it, reliving it when they would play it on the news over and over. And Reagan coming on the TV talking about it and stuff. And
you watched it live, right?
Oh, I saw it live.
In school?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, we were in. I was in fifth grade.
Fifth grade. So, well, that was what, 86?
Maybe.
I think it was 86. So I would have been, no, 80, 80 or 83. No, 86. Yeah, I was 15. I was in high school. Yeah, what? Look it up. I see a type in there. Yeah, and the last thing I want to talk about is we're still doing the Star Wars.
86, yes.
86, I thought so. Yeah, I was 15. I was a sophomore in high school, and, you know, we watched it. Like, I don't remember what class I was in, but I remember watching it, and we were just like, you know, thing blows up, and you're just like, oh, F, you know? Like,
yeah, no, it was amazing, yeah.
And then that night, you know, you're at home and, you know, you're with your parents and stuff and dinner's over and you have the nightly news and Reagan comes on, addresses the country and, you know, we're watching and Clarissa asked me we started last night, a matter of fact, and Clarissa asked me, she said, do you remember it? I said, well, yeah, I was in high school. And she said, yeah, I don't remember it. I said, yeah, you were three. You know? I said, I don't expect you to remember it, but I'm like, yeah, like I remember this like it was on television yesterday, you know? And
yeah, no, totally.
It's kind of like, you know, you always hear, I mean, obviously I'm not old enough to remember Kennedy, but you always remember, you know, you always hear people saying, do you remember where you were when Kennedy was shot? Do you remember where you were with 9/11, you know, and there's thing, and it's like, I remember where I was, where I was sitting and the overall feeling I had when this thing blew up, because, you know, I think the big thing about it was the space shuttle would launch and they would have space missions and everything, but it was more like here's a teacher, a civilian, and in your classroom, there was a teacher who's a civilian, and we're just kids, and and you, I don't know if it was a propaganda thing or whatever it was, but it was like, here's this person that you were told to respect, and she's like launching into space, and the damn thing blew up. And you were just like, oh.
Is it just one off? Is it just a straight up doc or?
No, it's a series. It's a series. Yeah, I don't know. We're not done with it, so I would assume it's 5 to 8. I don't know how many.
Okay.
Very good though. Very well done. I mean, J.J. Abrams. You know, like it's not
right.
Poorly done. I mean, it's well produced. But anyway, and then getting into more space stuff, we're getting into Star Wars, and we finished the Clone Wars. Yeah, I just, too much stuff on the screen, man. Too much stuff on the screen.
What do you mean, in Clone Wars?
Yeah, it's just the battles and stuff. It's just too much. It's, you know, I was telling Clarissa not to get, I mean, it's an old movie. I'm not going to get into it too much. But briefly, when you look at the original Star Wars, you have basic characters, basic storyline.
Archetypes, yes.
Basic archetypes, exactly. After that, the Clone Wars, Phantom Menace, and we're about to, tomorrow night, we're going to get into Revenge of the Sith and everything. And it's just too many people. Too many stories, too many characters that you don't care about.
Right.
The thing about Star Wars, you cared about every one of those people. You cared about Darth Vader. He was the primary villain. You cared about Princess Leia. You cared about everybody because without any one of them, the story couldn't carry forward. The thing about the Clone Wars, just as an example, take any one of them, pluck anyone out, the story still keeps going. Everything's irrelevant.
Right.
And that's, you know, and that's just we can argue that, you know, till kingdom come, I guess, but I don't know.
That plays into what I watched this week. I watched Rogue One again.
Oh, okay. I like Rogue One. I like, yeah.
So Rogue One is, I mean, it really is a complete counter to the point of what you're saying, where each one of the characters is completely, you care about every single one of them, right down to K2SO, you know, and it's just like,
because it leads you into a new hope.
It leads you into a new hope. But even as a standalone, it's just like, it's just really, really quality character development. And each one of the characters has a purpose and they serve their purpose. And you don't feel like any of them should, you, it really hits you in the gut because you spend the first half or first two thirds of the movie rooting for and caring for these characters. And then they kill Brody. And you're just like, Brody, you know, he's the defecting, you know, Imperial
pilot.
Why is
the guy who gets killed always Brody? Because wasn't that in we were just talking about it, Claire Danes.
Oh yeah, Brody in Homeland.
Yeah, it's Brody.
Well, I mean, once they kill him, it's like all bets are off, and then everybody dies, and then, you know, and then you have the disc going, you know, from hand to hand to hand as Darth Vader chases it through the halls of ships upon ships, you know, and it is just hope incarnate, and it's, you know, it's just every single player in there, and you see them all pass, you see them all perish. And you think of how final it is. And then to know that there's another schmovie coming that's going to be, you know, a little cloak and dagger of Cassian doing his best spy
Can't
work
wait.
Before he passed away. You know, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the prequel plugging into something that's as great as Rogue One. And then just to round out what we've been watching, Audrey said to me earlier this, we were in the middle of watching Rogue One. She said, I really want to just watch Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
And she's like, I found Spider-Man Homecoming. You can buy it digitally for $14, $14.99 or $13.99 or something like that. And I said, all right, let's look at it. I looked it up.
Wait a minute. As a guy who works at Disney, you can't get it on Disney Plus?
That's a Sony movie, my friend.
Oh, it's Sony Marvel. You know what? Yes. These guys.
It's the nuance. It's just a little nuance there.
I'll tell you what, to the people who own it, it's not a nuance.
Not to the Sony people. But so I look it up on Amazon. I know you're not a big fan of Amazon, or you're saying them this week. But I looked it up on Amazon and I said, oh, look, Audrey, we can get both Blu-rays of Homecoming and Far From Home for $15.
And both of those are Sony?
Both of those are Sony. The whole Spider-Man franchise is Sony.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So they own the Spider-Man franchise and all of the offshoots like Venom and all that stuff.
Okay.
So I said, look, we can get both the Blu-rays. It doesn't say anything about a digital copy or anything like that, but we'll just get these Blu-rays. We can play the Blu-ray in the main TV and hope maybe you can, you know, maybe there's a digital copy, maybe there's not. You know, they typically say digital copy, right? So I ordered it, $15 for two movies, Blu-ray, so high quality, right? I get it, and I get it in 2 days because that's the kind of Amazon delivery
I have, right?
Guy. I get the Prime.
I get like 1 week delivery at best.
move out of your small town, I guess. Yeah. You know, it's a trade-off, right?
Bowl. A couple.
So I open it up. The minute I get it, Ann walks it back to me in my office. I open it up. It's got a little card in it that has like digital download.
Oh, I thought it would be like a handwritten note by like Tom Holland.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Ted, for buying Homeland.
Homecoming.
Thank you for buying Homecoming. I don't even, this is Tom Holland. I don't even know what I'm writing anymore.
So I punch it in to Movies Anywhere. Do you have the service Movies Anywhere? You don't buy movies anyway, right? You don't.
I never heard of Movies Anywhere.
So Movies Anywhere used to be Disney Movies Anywhere. So they just dropped Disney and they're just called Movies Anywhere.
Okay.
And basically they're the service where you punch in this code and it's across a lot of different companies. Warner Brothers, I think Warner Brothers, Universal. I think all the companies kind of agreed to do it this way. And basically you can plug in whatever streaming service you have, whether it's Apple TV or iTunes, or we do the Amazon, you know, we have Amazon for a lot of stuff. And you plug in your accounts into Disney Movies, well, Movies Anywhere. And when you put in the code, it's basically validating that you bought this movie. So then it goes and it populates that movie in your libraries of all these places.
Of all what places?
All the places where you stream movies.
So wait a minute. If you stream on Amazon, Disney, and Netflix, it puts it into all of those?
Yeah. So Disney's, I think Disney Plus.
How does it know?
Well, you validate it. You cross validate it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So once you set it up, it'll just put it into your system and it'll just go to all the places.
Got it. Yeah.
So that was the cool thing. And then I ran into Audrey's room and I was like, Audrey, check out your Amazon Prime. See what you got in there. And she's like, oh, I have the movies now. So,
well, you know, and you're like, yeah, and we'll soon have shmovies. All right, man. Hey, last thing, though, I wanted to talk about was, you know, a lot of Super Bowl commercials.
The game was flat, right? The game was too easily won by Brady.
Way too much to talk about with the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But the Super Bowl commercial that was Bud Light Legends.
Okay, yes.
Right? It's as if these legends are coming out to fight Thanos. And they all appear.
Uh-huh.
They all show up to, like, I don't know, help write this knocked over Bud Light truck or something that crashed.
Yes. Deliver the Bud Light.
Yeah, deliver the Bud Light. You know, it's like somehow the Bud Light's the problem because that fell over, not the fact the truck crashed. You know, but whatever. That's a whole other story. But you bring in all the legends from all the past
campaigns.
Advertising campaigns,
yeah.
But the thing that struck me most about it, though, was you have to have watched the past like 30 Budweiser advertisement campaigns to understand what's going on, right?
Well, I think in years past, now that we've done this for so many years, in years past, we've talked about how they release the ad before the Super Bowl, because then you get more mileage out of it, because it's not just about the hit on the Super Bowl. It's about the clout and the whole hubbub of what you built into it. So I think it started with that Darth Vader Volkswagen commercial a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. A couple. Yeah, that's like 10 years ago.
And so they released it like a week or 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. It kind of leaked out, and it had so much longer legs by being released ahead of time that they now do that very routinely. For Bud Light this year, they revisited those commercials. So as I was going through the past couple weeks, I was seeing old Bud Light commercials.
Well, where do they revisit them then?
Like
YouTube or actually
on ads on YouTube, like,
okay.
Like just trying to showcase,
refresh your memory,
showcasing. Exactly. You know, and it's funny because it kind of, you know, it shows some of the actors that are later names, but at the time they weren't, you know, they weren't stars or they weren't stars of any kind, you know, so it was nice to see them as the weeks were leading into it. And then to be hit with this, where it's a Legends ad, and then you had that precursor. Yeah. So if you're out there watching a lot of video, I guess I watch a lot of video online, you actually saw them.
I do too, but it's like...
You didn't see that.
No, I did not. But the point that I was getting at with this ad or this ad space or ad spot commercial, whatever, mm-hmm. is it's much like Star Wars and it's much like Marvel and it's right. much like other Bud Light ads and Budweiser commercials, is that you have to watch like 20 movies to understand...
to fully respect what's going on here.
Yeah, to understand what's going on in this season of Wanda, for example. Or you have to watch 35 years of Star Wars to understand what's happening in this year's release of The Book of Boba. Or because, you know, they're going to have some character from, obviously it's not out yet, but they're going to have some character from like the Ewoks from like 83, you know, or whatever it might be. And it's, you know, when you think about like all these characters in a Bud Light commercial, it's like, it's a Bud Light commercial. I have I have zero investment in advertising, yet you're setting it up to where I need to be invested. I mean, it's kind of brilliant marketing, really, because you're setting it up to where I need to be invested in your marketing campaign to where I'm going to watch about Bud. And the funny thing is, even if I watched and I was like, wow, this is great, you know, like I still wouldn't drink Bud Light.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know where this, like who's drink. Although I have to say, one of the sad things is on my, you know, I pick up cans on the side of the road. Uh-huh. You know, I sound like a hobo. But what I do is like from the cans that I drink beer out of and the cans I pick up on the side of the road, I smash them, I throw them into a thing. And they're only like literally on the side. I mean, I'm not like living off of them. But what I do is I pick them all.
You're not going around a trash day.
No, not at all. If I see a can, I pick it up, I smash it.
Right.
But that and the beer that I drink, you know, I smash it and throw it into a can and I bring it in. I probably talked about this before on the show, but I bring it in and I get like, I don't know, say $18 or something for a trash can full of aluminum cans. And then I give each boy $9 that they could put into their save, spend, give jars. And they do whatever they want with it. And maybe they do 333 or they do 633 or, well, 63, I guess. 63 or 621.
Zero.
Yeah, 621. I'm bad at math right now because I had this beer's 11%. You know, but anyway, what I'm getting at is, so like, I always give the money to Tim and Mike.
The boys.
You know, but I, you know, I stop on the side of the road. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's a drunk driver. Like, he just threw out like 10 Bud Light cans, you know, and I just pick them up. I smash them. I throw them on the side of the bike. And I keep going. But these commercials don't make me want to drink Bud Light. You?
I mean, come on.
I didn't think so.
But I will say, so I do have a bit of a rundown. Let me just do a little rundown on the commercials that I liked.
Oh, okay, go for it.
So the GM commercial with Will Ferrell, did you see that one?
I did. He's insane.
I like that. I like that. It's pretty funny. It's very Will Ferrell. It's just like GM throwing money at Will Ferrell. Here's what we're doing. Make something funny. You know what I mean? So I like it. He does like the getting the team together montage of like grabbing different celebrities and meeting in Scandinavia. So that's a fun. I think that was the funniest. One of the funniest. The best music. So I kind of did this, the best ofs.
Oh, okay.
That was the funniest. And then the best music I thought was Doritos. Did you see the Doritos with...
I did not.
So Matthew McConaughey plays flat Matthew McConaughey, and he kind of feels flat, but it's with Queen's Break Free. And just having that scored to your Doritos commercial was kind of amazing.
All right, I'll have to look that one up.
And then best concept video... best concept commercial was Alexa as Michael B. Jordan.
Saw that, yeah.
I just love that lady.
But
that,
I like, you know, just turn on the sprinklers and like he's all wet, you know.
And then no, the husband's classic throughout the whole thing. He's why? Like, it's getting too wet in
here.
But
he's like, why?
I'm cooking.
Why? Why are you showing him wet?
No, Alexa, turn the lights back on. Turn the lights back on. And then I think the best.
Responding. I heard you got Alexa. I heard.
And then best long lead is the Bud Light, which you already talked about. Yeah. So that's what I love.
Okay.
The revisiting old IP.
I'll have to watch the Doritos.
So there you go. Watch the Doritos.
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey is a funny guy, though. Like
he is. Yeah.
You know, he does. Like, he's a serious actor, but he was on this Lance Armstrong podcast, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, talking about getting arrested nude, you know, where he's trying to do a backflip.
Playing bongos?
No, he's trying to do a backflip off the wall or something, and he gets arrested because he did this half backflip and crashed, and he was, like, naked. Oh, a complete hilarious conversation. But all right, man, what do you say we get out of here?
Right before we get out of here. Now, I just want to give a plug.
We've been working
hard the past couple of weeks, and I wanted to make sure that I finally got you to break down and join us over at verb.fm.
Oh God,
So if you are a fan of Trailer Junkies podcast, please go over to verb.fm. Oh, and I have to have iOS. So if you have an iPhone, go over to verb.fm and, you know, listen to us over there. And anytime you want, just click verb. There's a little verb button at the bottom. And that's where you can leave your comment. You just leave a voice comment wherever you are. I'm trying to verb in different places. So
verb.
I normally verb on my run because I'm listening to podcasts while I run in the morning. So I'm panting with traffic in the background on Satakoi, and Satakoi cars are flying by, and I'm panting. And then the other day I was listening to a podcast in the shower, and I just decided, hey, I'm going to verb in the shower, you know? So I verb all over the place. So I challenge our listeners to verb in strange places and just have the background.
All I
got to
say is, all I got to say
the reference.
The image of Ted panting and nude. Those two things, right?
Well, it's so funny because somebody verbed back, so I verbed. I'm like, I'm verbing in the showers, you know, where, and somebody said, somebody verbed back. They're like, you missed a spot, and I was like, oh, that's awesome.
That's
so
funny.
Enjoy the fun of during the week verbing.
Okay.
And on that, we can close
right,
out.
Man.
Have a great week.
Hey, I had a great time tonight. Next week is episode 150. So really quick. Last of the Christmas beers. How did it finish out for you?
Oh yeah, it finished again. It bloomed.
Are you done or?
It was nice. I just finished it just now.
Okay, I still have a little bit left, and I'm completely like buzzed smashed right now. If you couldn't tell by my like, miss. I don't even know what I can't even think.
Incoherent last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm so drunk. But totally good. It started off a little bit way too citrusy.
Fruity.
Like you said, the hazy, what did you call it? The
passion fruit? The
Yeah, but the, well, whatever. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It's, as it warmed, that flavor smoothed out a little bit.
Mellows. Yeah.
Yeah, mellows. And I still have a couple of sips left, and I'm going to enjoy them. And it's, yeah, it's great. So,
I mean, it is crisp. And I think, and the crispness lasts throughout, but it kind of blooms into that more mature, mellow fruit flavor.
For sure. All right, man, I'm going to have a party slide, I think, into bed after this thing. So,
awesome, man. Have a good night.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Ted at 150. Can't wait. All right, later.
All right. See you at 150. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.